Hey there, Chamber World. Jay Revel here. Welcome to another episode of the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce podcast. We are so delighted to have you listening with us here today. We've got a great episode in store with two of my favorite people in this wonderful community joining us today to talk about a combination of things. You may have read in the news over the last 6 or 8 months that the Chamber has been studying how our local government operates and things and how they work, where our priorities should be, where the business community should be leaning in with them. You may have heard we formed a local government study committee to look at those things. Both of our guests were a part of that committee. They also happened to be part of the contingency that we took to the great city of Greenville, South Carolina recently on our community leadership trip. And so we've got a great conversation for you today. Again, two of my favorite people. To my left, I have Lee Hinkle, the wonderful Lee Hinkle. To my right, I have Admiral Rick Grant. These are two fine folks, ladies and gentlemen, who are have been long engaged in the crafting of the success of our community, in my opinion. And we are delighted to have you on the show today. So let me just start off, Lee. If you don't mind, could you give everyone a bit of maybe a 30-second introduction to who you are?
Sure. Thanks, Jay. I came to FSU in the late 60s and never left. I'm one of those folks who fell in love with Tallahassee and wanted to stay here and make my life here. I worked in the communications and government relations area all my career, and prior to my retirement, I worked at FSU as vice president for university relations.
Wonderful. Admiral, how about yourself?
Sure. I'm the son of a military family. My dad was Air Force. I went to the Naval Academy, graduated in 1966, started off as a fighter pilot, and then came to FSU Law School back in the 70s as part of a Navy program. Wonderful program. They said you can go to school for 3 years if you want, but we won't pay you. So have at it and have fun. And I did. I had a great time at FSU. Went back into, I was actually on active duty, but went back to the Navy when I graduated in 74. And practiced law for about 25 years in the Navy. I was privileged during that time to be able to run NCIS for a few years. That was a tremendous experience. Retired from the Navy as the Judge Advocate General of the Navy, and then decided, where am I going to go when I retire? And we'd lived here for 3 years, absolutely loved Tallahassee, and we said, that's it. We're going back. And we've been here for 21 years now.
That's fabulous. And I mentioned in the introduction that both of you were kind enough to serve on our local government study committee. And folks, just to give you a quick overview of that, you may remember last year and in recent years, and there's been community discussions about consolidation for as long as the earth has been round, I suppose. We have two great local governments here, and our community has always been focused on how we can make them perform to the best of their abilities. But we started looking and having conversations about consolidation. And what that led to was this formation of this committee that was really filled with some very, very talented, caring local community minds like yourselves. And that discussion sort of morphed from looking at, hey, should we consider combining these two local governments, to what are the things we really need to be focused on as we look at our community bicentennial in 2024, what are the problems that are facing our community, what are the challenges, and what are the big opportunities? And you all were a great part of that. And before we kind of jump into some other conversations, I want to get y'all's reflections from that service. Lee, let's start with you. Anything that kind of just came out from that experience of being on that committee that really stuck in your mind?
Sure, Jay. I was so privileged to serve with a group of people who have been in this community for a very long time, who care a great deal about Tallahassee, and all of whom were very familiar with what both city and county government does, what their responsibilities are. And we talked initially about consolidation, but we thought, you know, perhaps if we looked at some of the root causes of many of the issues that are facing the community, perhaps if we addressed those, consolidation might even move off the table or might not be such a critical issue. And the group was representative of the universities, of the south side of Tallahassee. It was representative of the educational community, lots of people who were who were genuinely concerned about Tallahassee, as I said. We looked at the problems of attracting jobs to Tallahassee, jobs that our citizens want, jobs that our citizens want their children to have so they won't have to move away. We looked at some of the issues like crime and what were the causes of crime, how education could benefit that, and came to the conclusion that we ought to focus on some of those things first before we led into a discussion about what government could do to blend itself. We thought that in many cases they'd address some of the issues with joint city and county efforts. And we just felt that there were some other more basic issues that we ought to look at first.
Admiral, one of the things, you know, to Lee's point, very diverse group. I mean, we had our chair was a former Supreme Court justice. We had the former president of the National Bar Association, an economist, a pastor, a former university president. Pretty good group, right? We had some pretty engaging conversations. What were some of your key takeaways from those chats?
Yeah, I'll back up just a little bit and amplify a little bit of what Lee had to say. When I was asked to join this commission, it was basically phrased initially as a look at consolidation, which frankly I wasn't very interested in. Shortly after the group got going, we all decided, wait a minute, there's a lot more to take a look at than the issue of consolidation. Consolidation may come up at some point in time, but let's look at what Tallahassee is all about. Let's look at what's good, let's look at what could be better, and let's try to examine where we want to be in 5 years and 10 years, and that's really what we got into. And so I was excited about that. When I talked to Sue Dick initially about joining the commission, I thought about it for a while, and I thought, this is going to be a great opportunity to do something I'm really concerned about. Years ago, 12 years ago, I hired my son, brought him to Municipal Code Corporation, and he's done a wonderful job. But I didn't really hire him. I was hiring my four grandkids. By bringing my son here, I brought my four grandkids. And we've had a wonderful time with them over the last 12 years. But as I thought about the opportunities in Tallahassee, and I thought about what my kids, grandkids are going to do when they grow up, it came to me that, and we saw this at Municipal Code, we hire so many young kids, and they end up leaving. They go elsewhere. They go to Atlanta, Orlando, Miami, New York, whatever. And you have to ask yourself why. And as I looked at my own family, I thought to myself, I don't ever want to lose touch with this family, and I want to help Tallahassee be a place where after they've graduated from college, wherever that happens to be, they can come back to Tallahassee knowing that there's some great jobs here, knowing that there's real opportunity in Tallahassee, and that's what got me interested. And so I was delighted to join this commission. As Lee said, we looked at so much. We looked at the educational abilities here in Tallahassee, or educational facilities, which are tremendous. We looked at the kinds of jobs we have and then the kind of jobs we think we need if we're going to develop. We looked at poverty. We looked at economic opportunity. We looked at just about everything you can imagine goes into a community. And at the end of all that, I came to the conclusion, I think many of us did, that if Tallahassee is going to become what we want it to be, and that's hard to define, I think, and everybody has their own opinion, one of the things we need more than anything else is jobs. We need more jobs. In order to grow, you have to have people. In order for people to come here, you have to have something to bring them here. And so jobs, to me, becomes the primary focus of this. We talked a lot about the airport, the goods and the bads and the uglies of the airport, and it's a fantastic place, but the ridership is not very big. We want to have more direct flights. We want to have more airlines. You can't do that until you have people. Until you have ridership, you can't expand the airport, and you can't do some of the things we would like to do. So how do you get people? By providing jobs. What kind of jobs? I have my own ideas about what I would like to see come here, and I think we may disagree, but I think most of us realize that we need some industry. And I'm not talking about smokestacks. I'm talking about clean industry. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I focus on more than anything else is something like an aircraft assembly plant, not building airplanes, but assembling wheels, assembling bearings, wings, whatever the case may be. And we've got some feelers out to some various activities that can help us in that regard. But I think that's the key to our future, finding industries that want to come to Tallahassee, and then bringing them in and then having the jobs which they create. So you have to ask yourself, when you start going out and talking to businesses, talking to industry, what do they look for? What do they really want? And we learned a lot of this in Greenville. Workforce. You've got to have a talented, ready workforce that can do the job. You've got to have good quality of life. And when you look at all the things Tallahassee has going for it, we've got some great things here, some absolutely fantastic things. You have to have adequate housing. You have to have educational facilities for your kids to go to school and for your workforce to avail themselves up. You look at FSU, FAMU, TCC, Lively, we've got it all. We've just got to figure out how to focus on it, make it happen. New businesses want entertainment for their millennial folks. We've got that, and we're getting more and more of it. And they want cultural outlets, and we're working on those as well. And then you have to have infrastructure. You have to have roads, rail, and airport. We did a great thing here years ago with the sales tax and the infrastructure that we're creating. We've got it. It's coming. It's really big. And there's a whole host of other things. But we learned a lot in the study group, and then it all sort of culminated in our trip to Greenville, and we can discuss what we learned in Greenville as well.
Yeah, let me add to what Rick has said. Jobs is really the big issue that came forward in our committee meetings. But when we went to Greenville, we learned that they have done so much to prepare people in their communities for jobs that they want to have. We have, as Rick has said, we have FSU, we have FAMU, we have TCC, we have Lively, but we have a lot of people in this community who don't necessarily want to go to college. They want good jobs, they want to be able to stay here, but we need to focus on things that are going to bring in jobs that they can do, aircraft jobs. We've got lots and lots of local employers like plumbers and electricians and carpenters who say they can't find people that want those jobs.
And those are great paying jobs.
And those are great paying jobs. If any of you had a plumber come to your house lately, you know those are great paying jobs. Yep. So what we focused on was looking at where those jobs might be, where we might want to focus on other jobs that could come to the community. And then when we went to Greenville, we found out what they had done to really prepare for those jobs before the industries came there. And I think that was a critical point.
No doubt. You know, I was looking back through the report that the committee issued. And folks, if you haven't read that report, I would highly encourage you to go to our website, talchamber.com, and find that. We'll make sure we link that in the show notes as well for you. But it's a great read. It's a really a robust document that paints a very vivid picture of not only where we are today, but maybe where we should be heading. But there were four key assessments that the committee put together about the state of our community. One, you have to have increased economic diversity, which you both spoke to. Number two, that there are two Tallahassees, and economic segregation is a very real thing. Number three, that we have some very serious reputational risks. You know, when you see headlines in newspapers, both local, regional, unfortunately sometimes national, about crime and things like corruption, those are serious problems. And then one of the things that's also a big piece of that is what we call competing preferences for the future, which is sort of challenging some of the status quo on where we are as a community, and again, talking about growth in a responsible way and how it should happen and how important it is to driving changes in all those other three areas. But one of the things, and I'm going to tie this all back to Greenville, when you think about those things and you think about our community and you think about a place like Greenville, which you both visited, one of the key differences that I noticed was how well a place like Greenville has planned and executed. And what I'd like to kind of talk about with you now is why haven't we been able to plan and execute as well as a place like Greenville? Or maybe what do we need to do to better plan and execute like a Greenville does?
I'll take a first shot at that. I would like to think that our local governments get along, but in Greenville, what we noticed was that essentially their city and county governments met frequently. They met with their educational leaders, and they talked about what was necessary for growth. And I know here in Tallahassee, we have strategic planning meetings that the county commission does, and we have strategic planning meetings that the city does. I would like to see us have more opportunities for both those entities to get together and to get together at the same time with the school system. That's what they did in Greenville, and they found that they could better focus on the job needs that were going to be going forward. And it all ties into what local government can do to provide infrastructure for jobs, but what the local school system can do to make students ready for the jobs that they're planning for.
Mm-hmm. Admiral, any thoughts on that front?
Yes, please. Let me back up for just a minute and mention why the Greenville trip and a little bit of history on that. This was the first trip that Lee and I went on, I believe. There have been several chamber trips like this, maybe four. What was interesting about this one is that over half or about half of the people on the trip were brand new. They'd never done this before. And so that indicated to me a real interest in what's going on in Tallahassee. So I was really privileged and excited about doing this. One of the things we learned in Greenville is that even though Greenville, people think Greenville, wow, that's really great, it's really cool, it's a lot of fun, it didn't happen overnight. It's a 41-year success. They started planning on this thing years and years and years ago. They had an impetus that we don't have, fortunately, and that was a catastrophe. The entire textile industry disappeared. So they had 4,000 people immediately out of a job. So they had to figure something out. And so they got the politicians, the business leaders, the private entities all together to try to figure out how do we go and where do we get there. And it's been a long process. They've developed tremendously over the last 10 years or so, but it took a long time to get there, and they had everybody involved. When we got to Greenville, they rolled out the red carpet for us. We had the government officials, private business leaders, educators, museum staff. We had everybody showed up to tell us about Greenville. They're proud of their city, and they wanted us to know. And they wanted to help us out where we might pick up something from the trip. On a number of occasions, as we were walking around Greenville, I would stop people in the street and talk to them, whoever was walking next to me. And I found out overwhelmingly, well, first of all, a lot of the folks were visitors. They weren't from Greenville. Yeah. But those I found from Greenville, when I asked them about the city, how long they'd been there, what they thought about it, they love Greenville. They were just excited about the place. It has great educational opportunities, has great jobs, has a lot of vibrancy and enthusiasm, and it's an exciting place to live. So they like being there. One of the things that Lee and I saw that one of the folks pointed out to us is they have two people hired in Greenville who do nothing but walk around the streets picking up cigarette butts, picking up pieces of paper and getting rid of it, making Greenville a pretty place to be. So there's a lot of excitement, but again, it took a lot of planning. And one of the things they did some years ago is they decided, what are we going to develop in Greenville? What do we focus on? And it was downtown. And so they had a public-private partnership to bring in two anchors for Greenville, the Hyatt on one end and the Performing Arts Center on the other. And then they started filling it in with mixed-use facilities. Now when you walk around Greenville, and I didn't look at the number of blocks, but I think it's about 10 or 12 blocks, maybe 15 blocks long and about 5 or 6 blocks deep, which is all the downtown area along the Reedy River. It's gorgeous, and it's fun. And every time you walk on a different block, there's something new. There's something to see every single block, private art. So it's fun, and it's a great place to live. And the people there like being there, and there's a lot more coming to that area.
You know, I also, two of the things that really struck me, I was fascinated when we went to the International Center for Automotive Research. They have a couple of big universities, just like Tallahassee does. They have Clemson and they have Furman. And they, because they have the auto industry in Greenville, they have really focused on engineering and preparing their college students to work in those industries. We saw so many technological advancements, so many things that we're going to see in automobiles in the next 10 or 15 years taking place right there in Greenville. And they had opportunities for internships for college students, and they had opportunities for research jobs for people who were working on advanced degrees at those universities. The other thing we saw that fascinated me was the airport and what they have done at the airport. They have, they're a good-sized city, but they have six carriers that fly in and out of that airport. They also have a port which is connected to railways and the interstate highways that go through that area. And the jobs that have been created with those two entities were pretty fascinating to me. And as vibrant and wonderful as downtown Greenville was, I thought those areas that were a little further out of town, the airport, the port, land port that they had, and the focus on research in the automobile industry was pretty fascinating to me.
I found Greenville to be the most impressive mid-sized city I've ever seen. I've been to a lot of them. I've studied a lot of them, and I was really taken aback. And you know, you brought up the ICAR, the Automotive Research Center there, and you know, one of the things that really was impressive again is the full-scale approach. For those listening, we're here in early June. You know, yesterday was the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and again, you think about the full-scale assault on a real big problem, right? That our nation, our allies tackled there. Greenville took that same approach to their problems. You know, Admiral, you mentioned the failing textile industry, and then changing who they are, changing their identity, refocusing how they train people. You saw that. Whether you're talking about elementary schools that are focused on science,
engineering,
technology, engineering and math, to trade schools that put people on career paths to work in those industries, all the way to the research that's happening through Clemson University and their other partners, to you know what BMW and Michelin are doing there. I mean, it was just remarkable to me, again, how the community said, okay, this is what our mission is going to be, and everyone has a role, and we're all going to go in and do it. And that's how you make a big lift for a community.
What happened in Greenville and in South Carolina was they had a concerted effort with their local people to go to their legislative delegation, to go to their governor, and they made a concerted effort 20, 25 years ago to attract industry to the state. And we've done a lot of that in Florida, but I think that for them, they have attracted jobs that are going to be high income producing jobs, which is pretty incredibly important to a community like Greenville to attract other people who want to come there. And then when you have a good diverse population like they do, there are a lot of jobs that need to be filled at all educational levels.
There's a lot to what you just said. I'm sitting here trying to figure out which thing to address first.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk quickly about what they call the upstate area of South Carolina. It's a 10-county area in the northwest. And as you said, they made a concerted effort to really expand manufacturing and bring industries into the area. In that upstate area, there are 460 foreign companies, 460, 1,800 manufacturers. It's unbelievable. You mentioned the interstates. They have Interstate 85, 385, and 26, all proximate, which aids into their expansion. And you talked about the airport and the inland port. Tremendous assets. The airport is a special purpose district, has an airport authority that operates as a business. You mentioned the six airlines. Absolutely. Delta, American, United, Southwest, Frontier, Allegiant. They've fought hard to get all those folks there, and they brought them. 2.3 million passengers a year in 2019. 19 nonstop cities out of Greenville. Do we have any? We might have one. I don't know.
Atlanta. We fly to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Dallas.
Yeah, Atlanta. Okay.
Purgatory.
Business flights are 70% of the airline traffic, and they own the FBO. I mean, they put it together. They really thought through this. The Inland Port, another special district, 212 miles of rail. They move things back and forth to the port in Charleston, half a mile from the interstate. The point of all that is they really sat down and thought it out. They said, what are we going to do? How are we going to get there? How do we attract folks? And they did it. And who did they bring in? They brought in BMW, Michelin, Bosch, General Electric, Fluor, Volvo, and the list goes on and on and on. They made it work, and we can too.
And you know, if we learned one thing in our Blue Ribbon Committee, we learned that by getting local governments to work together with the school system and focus on the needs of the community, you know, instead of arguing about issues that really in the long run are not going to bring jobs to the community, then we can do a lot in Tallahassee.
I completely agree. And, you know, one of the things, you know, kind of maybe bringing this back full circle to Tallahassee and in for a landing, if you go around and you ask anyone in this community, what are our top priorities? What are our big initiatives here? You're going to get thousands of responses, varied interests, varied ideas, varied concepts. In Greenville, that was very different. To your point, Admiral, when you walk around and you talk to people, everyone was on the same sheet of music. I mean, everyone understood what the mission was. And, you know, for us, I think in this community, and I'd love to get y'all's thoughts on this, we have to get to the place where everyone can understand what the mission is, what their role is, and why we're doing it. And I'd just love to get y'all's reflections on that, you know, again, coming full circle, seeing how great Greenville was and what they've done, and how do you think we need to do that here in our community?
I listened to our local elected officials that went on the trip, and when they came back to Tallahassee, they said, what we need is jobs. Greenville has jobs. Greenville has a lot of jobs. They have industry. They have a lot of business. They have transportation. Jobs are what we need. But in order to get to jobs, we're going to have to do a lot of training. We got to focus on bringing the universities and the classrooms into the discussion and determine what we really need. And I think that's what the local elected officials came back with. You know, the chamber has talked a lot about economic development. That's a term that doesn't necessarily resonate with some people. But when you say jobs are really what Greenville focused on in the 70s when they lost the textile industry. And everything that they've done since then has focused on making the community better, making the people in the community employable, and looking for a really great quality standard of living and quality of life.
And their success is radiated from that approach.
Okay. One of the things they decided years ago in Greenville was, yes, we need jobs, yes, we need people, yes, we need industry. How do we attract them? And the answer was, let's get people ready for the jobs. Let's start training people up. And this sounds sort of cliche, but let's make Greenville cool. Let's make it fun. And they did. So now when they bring people into Greenville, take a look at it, they go through downtown and they say, my kids are going to have a great time here. My wife can go shopping. This is a fantastic place to live. So that the cool factor resonates. When I look at Tallahassee and what we have going on, and the things that are coming, and the things that are already here. I drew a map, and my map got full. As I sat down and started trying to put all these pieces together, this piece of paper just got very crowded. But it's amazing how much we actually have going on. And people don't really realize how much is happening in Tallahassee and how much is coming over the next couple of years. We can be that cool place. We can be that fun place. We can be that place that attracts others. In South Carolina, they've got something called Ready South Carolina. The whole purpose of that is to figure out what industry needs and start training the people so that they can say, okay, new industry, we know that you need 200 whatchamacallits. We've got them. By the time you get here in a year and a half, they'll be completely trained, certified, and ready for you. That's pretty cool. And we can do the same thing at TCC and at Lively. They also have something in town called Next, which I thought was really pretty interesting. We have something similar to it. But Next is all about getting entrepreneurs trained and fortified and supported. They get their CEOs together once a month, all the CEOs in town, and talk about best practices. They're basically the hub of entrepreneurial activity in the city. They've got a number of mentors that they sign up. They've got 24 mentors that are dealing with these entrepreneurial groups. And the mentors meet monthly to try to figure out how do we do a better job. What I'm saying is Tallahassee has a lot going for it. If we start tying all this stuff into a strategic plan that focuses on attracting industry, we can do it. We can make it happen.
We absolutely can. And I can't thank you both enough for your time and energy and effort serving on our study committee, for coming to Greenville with us, and for being here with us on the show today. I think for those of you who are listening, if you haven't ever met either one of these individuals, I'd highly encourage you to give them a dial and try to get a cup of coffee sometime, because they have a very robust appreciation and love for our community, and as I know many of our listeners do. So it's always a pleasure to be able to talk to people who have that and display that so vividly through what they do every day. Folks, again, if you get a chance, go on our website. You're going to want to read this report from our committee. There's some eye-opening data, some eye-opening figures, and some really important things I think you can all consider in that. And then also, if you haven't had that chance, again, I know we've talked about Greenville a lot, but check out what they're doing up there. It's incredibly impressive, and again, to the points made by both our guests today, we can do it here in Tallahassee. We have the ingredients. It's all here. We just have to get started and get our plans aligned and in order so that everybody understands what the mission is and what their role is in that. So exciting times here in our future. Don't forget, we've got a big bicentennial celebration only 5 years away. So lots to do, and the clock is ticking. So thanks again for being with us, you guys. Thanks for listening, folks. As always, you can visit www.talchamber.com. That's talchamber.com. to learn more about our organization and all the benefits to joining, if you haven't yet. As well, be sure to follow us on any of your favorite social media channels. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a great review and maybe a little note about what you like about the show. So thanks as always for listening, folks. Get out there and make something great happen in Tallahassee today. And love your community. We'll talk to you soon.